And the pressure is on us today, my friends. If we don't make a stand at work, or in school, or in the grocery store, or wherever we may be, then where is our faith in Jesus Christ? How can we be witnesses or martyrs for Jesus Christ? If they hate us, they hated him before they hated us. We don't have to be afraid of that.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Rees in Diamond Bar, California. Continuing our study of 1 Peter today, Roel will challenge us to live fruitful, uncompromising lives for Jesus. In these last days, we may face hostility for our faith, but if we stand firm in the gospel, God can work mightily through us to build his kingdom. We don't have to be church leaders or missionaries. God can use our testimony to point others to his salvation. Now in 1 Peter chapter 5, here's Roel Rees.
Peter, in writing his epistle, he's writing to us in chapter 5, which is now in chapter 5 is a special chapter, because in chapter 5 he's going to be dealing with the elders. And in chapter 5, verse 2, he's going to be dealing with pastors too. And what's incredible is that this book not only gives us insight to the leadership of the church in Peter's own time, but even in our own time today, when you look at the leadership of the church today, many churches are failing in having good leadership. And part of the problem is that you have to understand, why do people come into the ministry? Do they come for the money, or do they come because they really have a call and anointing of God in their lives? You can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer, you can be a teacher, you can be a guy that drives a garbage truck. Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever your occupation, that's where the Lord will use your life as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't have to work in a church. I think it's really important that we understand the call of God. When I was called by the Lord, I didn't want to be a pastor. I was in the martial arts and I had my kung fu school. And my goal in my life, my vision was to open hundreds of schools all over the country and all over the world. But God touched my life and God put this desire within me where I could not sleep and I couldn't do anything. It burned inside of me. And 40 years later, it still burns within me. I don't work for a paycheck. I serve the Lord because God has called me to do that. And it's really important that we understand that there's a lot of churches and there's a lot of people in the ministry today that the only reason they're in the ministry is because they're lazy and they don't want to work and because they want to get paid by the church. And yes, people need money to live on. But if God has really called you into the ministry, whether you be a doctor or whatever you may be in this world, man, the priority number one is loving the Lord with all of your heart, all of your mind, and then the Lord will take care of your needs. Why? Because God cares for you. He loves you. He doesn't want to cast you off. He wants to use your life. And it's getting harder and harder today to really find out people's hearts. Why do they serve the Lord? Peter was having a problem in that area, talking to these people. As he begins his fifth chapter, before he gets to the second letter, he spends a whole chapter speaking to leaders. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, he will give us a whole chapter in rebuking and exposing false teachers. And so I think it's really important that we take this very seriously, what Peter is saying here. Notice again in verse 1 of chapter 5, the exhortation to leaders. He says, the elders, and here is the recipients he's talking to. The elders who are among you, I exhort. This is an exhortation by Peter. An exhortation to speak to the leadership of the church, not just Calvary Chapel, but among the Baptists and the Methodists, the Catholic Church, whatever denomination it may be. That it's really important that we understand, first of all, that we're not serving a religion. We're serving a creator. God the Father sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world so that he could come down here and be the example of a true minister. And that is never to be served, but to serve people. And it's really important to me as a pastor because I know, because we have to hire people here to work in the ministry. And it's really important for me that when they come, do you really have a call of God? Are you really anointed of God to be in the ministry? Are you willing to work the hours that are required, which is not 40 hours a week? We only have one day off. And most of the time, if something happens during that day off, I get a call, whatever, you have to work. You're serving the Lord, not working. We're ministers. We're serving the Lord. You see? We don't do it for the money. We do it because we love God and we love people. And I think it's something that we need to not only deal with, but we need to understand what Peter here, because Peter is really pouring his heart out. He's making a great exhortation to the elders of his time. And he says this, who I am also a fellow elder and an eyewitness. Notice that. I am speaking to you in the same level. I am a fellow, what? Elder. Again, he says, what? I am a fellow elder just like you. And I'm telling you. I was with Jesus for 3.5 years. And what's amazing about Peter, remember, Peter failed the Lord. He wasn't even at the crucifixion. They were hiding. And then he says in the same verse, he says, I am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. He wants us to understand what he's gone through, what he's been through. The apostle is speaking here to the elders, identifying himself as one of the elders just like them. In telling them how, what to expect from the Lord, but what the Lord expects from them, how to live for Christ and serve the Lord. He says, that's why I'm writing this letter. This is why I got the pen and the paper and I wrote it down. Those who Peter was calling elders, they were primarily holding an official position of leadership within the church at this particular time. But the term also may have included older members of the congregation. So he's not only speaking to the eldership, but he's speaking to people that have been in the church a long time that are older and mature in the Lord, exhorting them to keep an eye open to what's going on in the church. So many churches have so many problems. So many churches have divisions. And the problem is that the leadership doesn't do anything about it. They're sleeping. Everything that we have to do has to be done according to the Word of God. According to God's Word. That's what Peter's going to tell us in a moment. And yet Peter here writes this incredible letter to exhort elders in the church. Because elders and pastors and leaders become lazy. Lazy. Or they get comfortable when they get older. Oh man, I'm 60 years old now, so you know what? I don't have to go here, do that. We'll keep what we have. We don't want to do any more outreaches. We don't want to do anything. We'll just kick back and enjoy the fruit of the work of God here. Man, that's when you'll die. You got to take ventures of faith. And so it's really important for us to understand that if this is really truly the Lord, and that the Lord is really wanting to touch our community and communities, and he wants to touch the world, and he wants to use his little church, awesome, Lord, do it. I want to be like Peter. Whatever you want to do, Lord, I want to be right there. Remember Peter's name? The small stone? The little Petros. The little stone. When Jesus was up in Caesarea Philippi in Matthew chapter 16, and they were on their way to Jerusalem, and all of a sudden, when we go there this next year, you'll blow your mind. When we enter Caesarea Philippi, you'll blow your mind. There's this big rock mountain with a big hole on it where the god Pan was worshipped. And when you go up there, we always give the story because this is where Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem with the 12 disciples, including Judas, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" He asked them the question. "Who do men say that I am?" And then they started to say, "Well, some are saying you're Jeremiah the prophet. Some saying you're one of the prophets. Some say you're Elijah." But then he says, "Okay, everybody's saying one thing or another thing, but I want to ask you a personal question. Who do you say that I am?" Now, individually. And Peter comes to the front and says, "I know, Lord, you are the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven gave you a revelation." Think about that. And Peter, by the way, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Peter, you're the little stone, but you see that big old mountain over there? I'm the rock. I'm the rock. You're just a little instrument I'm going to use. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to use your life. He wants to use you in whatever capacity you want to be used, but your relationship with God has to be what? Your first love has to be Jesus Christ, not your wife, not your husband, not your children, not your job, not your money, not anything. God has to be number one if you want God to use you. You can't play around. You got to be serious with God.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. Don't forget, we're here to help you grow in faith as you journey in step with God. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for a wealth of resources. Roel is also happy to respond to your Bible questions and prayer requests. His email address is PastorRoel@SomebodyLovesYou.com. Let's continue now with more of our study of 1 Peter with Roel Reese.
And Peter was in great, great pressure because of the Roman government. Remember, Caesar Nero is going to burn down Rome and blame it on the Christians. Imagine if that would happen today to us, if one of the presidents or anybody that's in government would blame the church as they blame the church for a lot of things. We're living in those days. So Peter became the instrument that God would use in chapter 5, to exhort leadership. And what's incredible, number two, is that Peter, before he came to the Lord, he also was called Simon by Jonah. In Matthew 16:17, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon bar Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." When he made that public declaration, "You are the Mashiach, the anointed one of God," he says, "You've had a supernatural revelation." And Peter was one of those guys that had failed, but he came back strong on the day of Pentecost. He got up, and what did he do? He spoke the word of God. He told them, this is not something weird. This was prophesied by the prophet Joel in chapter 2:14 and on, that this would happen in the last days. The Holy Spirit would be poured out, and the church would become powerful. That was Peter. Peter, Simon Bar-Jonah. And he had a brother by the name of Andrew. Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. He's the one that introduced him. In Matthew 4:18, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the Sea of Galilee, for they were fishermen." Notice they were just fishermen. And the Lord said, "Come follow me." And they dropped their nets. And they followed Jesus, and they never went back to fishing fish, but they began to fish for men. When the Lord calls you, He's asking you to drop everything, mother, father, brother, sister, anybody. If you love me more than them, then He says, your love is not true for me. You can't be my disciple. And Peter, the only one that we know, was married. So he could not be the Pope of Rome. He was married. He had a wife. In Mark 1:30, he says, "But Simon Peter's wife, mother, lay sick with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once, and he went over and healed her." So he had a mother-in-law that was sick. So Peter was married. Peter was never, ever a pope. Ever. He was a fisherman. He was an apostle. He was a disciple. And in Matthew 4:18, he says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two of the brothers, Simon and called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting the net. He said, 'Hey, come follow me. Get over here.' And immediately they followed the Lord Jesus Christ, just like we should do the same." And you know what's amazing about Peter too? He was a witness of the transfiguration. Remember in Matthew 17, right after he makes his confession about Jesus, and he's been speaking about, if anybody wants to follow me, take up his cross and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. In chapter 17, they go up behind the actual Caesarea Philippi, and they go behind Mount Hermon, and they go up there, and Jesus is standing there, and all of a sudden, he's transformed into the second coming. And they're like blowing their minds. And Peter, speaking out of turn, impulsive Peter, he says, "Lord, you think it's good for us to be here?" "No, Peter, I would have never invited you if it wasn't good." Think about that. He says, "Lord, shall we build three tabernacles here? One for you, one for Elijah, and notice again, and one that is here. Three churches we can build right here." Because who appeared with them? Moses and Elijah were there in Mount Hermon, when Jesus was looked into the second coming. They saw him coming back as a judge. And Peter got blown away. "Wow, Lord, you think it's good for us to be here? Let us build three churches here. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you." And the Lord said, "Peter, why don't you just keep quiet? There's a time to speak and a time to be quiet." So important that we understand who this man is, Peter. And then he was a human instrument that Christ would use to build his church. It's not our church, it's his church. "Peter, you're going to be the little stone. I'm going to be the massive what? Rock. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then remember what happened to Peter when he went to the cross. He denied the Lord three times, and he followed Jesus afar off. And then what do we see? When Christ dies, rises from the dead, and then when Jesus goes up to heaven after 40 days, on the 50th day, Peter is in the upper room with 120, including the mother of Jesus. And what happens to Peter? All of a sudden, man, Peter gets baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that very same time, 3,000 people come to know the Lord. On the day of Pentecost afterwards, when they heard them speaking in their own dialecta, he preached to them the gospel, and 3,000 got saved. The first altar call in the early church was 3,000 converts immediately. And at the same time, Peter now writes to the elders of the church and identifies himself not as their superior or the pope, but as a fellow what? A fellow elder and a witness of what? Of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And check this out. He wasn't there for the sufferings of Christ. He was not at the cross. Mary was there. The other Mary was there. But the disciples were what? Were hiding. They were afraid. And yet he says, man, the sufferings of Christ were deep. Jesus suffered so much, but I tell you, when he went to that cross, he suffered tremendously. Imagine when he was arrested and when they took him and they beat him and they put stripes on his back, 39 stripes. They put a crown of Palestinian thorn 1 to 2 inches on his head. And then they took him and they put a crown of thorns and they gave him an actual cross, and he carries it down the road. Simon picks it up and helps him out. Then he gets to the Calvary, and they put nails through his hand and his feet. They drop the cross down. He splits his armpits. He's all bloody. He doesn't even look like a human being. Read Psalm 22, Isaiah 53. And then he cries out the last 7 words in the cross. And finally he says, "Father, it is finished. It is finished." And he dismisses his spirit and he dies. He dies. And then they bury him. And 3 days later, he comes out of the tomb. And then 40 days, he spends it with these guys, teaching them and leading them. And then when he departs on the 40th day, he goes up to the Mount of Olives and he gets caught up in the cloud to heaven. And they're looking up and the angel says, the same way Jesus came, the way he's leaving, the same way he's going to come back the second time. And then they went to the upper room. And what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon them. And they were baptized with the Holy Spirit and power, and they were blown away. That's why Peter here is so amazing in what he's saying. Check this out again. Let's go back to that verse. He says, "And the elders who are among you I exhort, who I am a fellow elder and a witness." And the word witness is what? A martyrus. It's the word for martyred. If you become a real witness of Jesus Christ, what was happening in Rome? They were killing Christians. They were witnessing. Caesar is Lord or Jesus is Lord? Jesus Christ is Lord. To the lion's den. Caesar is Lord. You can go free. You see? The pressure was on. And the pressure is on us today, my friends. If we don't make a stand at work or in school or in the grocery store or wherever we may be, then where is our faith in Jesus Christ? How can we be witnesses or martyrs for Jesus Christ? If they hate us, they hated him before they hated us. We don't have to be afraid of that.
Well, as you consider that time is running short before Jesus' return, we hope you'll take this message to heart and be bold in your witness wherever and whenever the Lord gives you opportunity. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Rees. If you'd like to review today's lesson, just call us at 800-634-9165. And for a donation of $5 or more, we'll send a copy to you. When you get in touch with us, simply mention today's teaching from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Now, to help support you in standing steadfast for the Lord, we'd like to offer you this entire series. Roel's 42-part 1 Peter study is available on both CD and flash drive. Each lesson will grow your confidence in God's presence and power, no matter what obstacles or challenges you might be facing. You'll see that when you fully entrust yourself to the Lord, He'll provide all that you need in every circumstance. To order Roel's 42-part study of 1 Peter, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send you the CD set for $63 or the USB drive for just $42. That's 800-634-9165. Or you can write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we're thankful for your partnership as we keep sharing truth and instruction from God's Word. Every gift is tax-deductible. Join us next time as we return to 1 Peter for more insight into how we can best honor the Lord with our lives, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus and following in His footsteps of obedient service. Here's Roel with a closing comment.
We need to make a stand and stand for righteousness and the truth of Jesus Christ. Look what He went through for you and for me. The beating, the nails, the crown of thorns, but then at the end, the resurrection. And one day when you and I die, like when Peter was crucified upside down, when he died, he went to be in the presence of the Lord. And we one day are going to meet Peter. I can hardly wait. I want to meet Paul, but I want to meet Peter too. We're going to meet everybody in heaven. My grandpa is there. My dad's there. So many people I know already there. And one day we're going to see them and we're going to meet them. And today, in these last days, my friends, we need to make a stand. We need to draw the lines in the sand and say, for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to compromise. We're going to make a stand for Jesus Christ. Why? Because not only are we elders and deacons, but we are what? We are servants of the Lord. We serve the Lord with all of our minds, with all of our hearts, with all of everything that is within us. Everything that we have belongs to Jesus Christ. He is the master and the Lord of my life.
I am falling in love.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.